it's a bit of a new concept, I suppose. Over the last few years, we've been thinking about it a bit more, and it is a bit like that sense of a bit of a homesickness, hoping and wanting and yearning for what was and what has been, perhaps through destruction, flood, fire, whatever the disaster might have been, that has taken away somebody's home, their place, but yet they still live in that community, they still live at the geography. And so there's no way to go back to what was, because it's actually gone. But yet you're still living in that community. So there's this sense of loss, and sometimes that can lead to some depression. So that's why it's such a concern for mental health, that the environment and where we live and our sense of place in the world is all very connected with our sense of mental health and well-being. So that's a little bit about solastagia, and I suppose a little bit of a definition, I suppose.
Interesting, Kim. The concept has obviously been around, and Glenn Albrecht has put a definition to it and tried to interpret it. Do you think it is a more of a sort of a contemporary society, a modern society issue around change in the environment to a built environment, or has it the condition or the situation always existed?
Well, it may have existed to some degree for a long time. It's just that Glenn Albrecht in 2002 put a name to it. But what we're finding today, because of things like climate change, our world is being constantly damaged. So we're having things like natural disasters occurring more frequently. In particular, the Pacific region is more prone to natural disasters than anywhere else in the world. So we're right in the middle of all of this, and it's a potential for us to live with a damaged environment. We're also doing things to damage our environment, like mining and so forth, which Glenn also studied. So it seems to be something that's coming much more to rest in a contemporary society.
It seems architects come and sort of play with the idea of sense of place and sense of identity a lot when they're working on new designs, Kim. But the idea of someone's sense of place, how important is it to someone's identity and their sense of, I guess, well-being?
I think it's very important. You know, we put a lot of ourselves into the environment where we choose to be, you know, whether it's our home and even the total environment, you know, the community, the township. So when that's taken away or part of it's damaged, people do experience quite a deal of distress, and that distress can lead to can lead to some sort of more pathological types of mental health concerns, like, you know, depression, anxiety. But people do have a sense, you know, the distress and the sadness does tend to lead them to have a feeling of hopelessness, where they feel they can't do anything to get out of the situation that they're in, and that their environment has been damaged and will never be the same again.
And Rhonda, in your work, in your research, the sense of place for people in regional New South Wales, where does it sit on sort of their list of how they identify themselves?
Oh, I think rural people in particular identify very, very strongly with the place that they live and work. And, you know, we see that very much with people in agricultural industry, for example. There might be generations of people who've lived and worked on the same farm and property. And so they're very, very connected to place and very sensitive to environmental changes. You think about agriculture in particular, farmers are very attuned to environmental change and are very affected by it. We see the connections between depression and drought, for example, or we see connections between things like salinity and rising water tables. And, there have been studies done that have shown linkage with depression there. So the environment and how we feel and our mental health is very, very important and plays out a great deal in our community here. Kim's alluded to as well the mining that is going on in our region, and particularly, I suppose, in the Hunter region, but further out as we think around, I think, the Narrabri region, and how people feel about the change and perhaps the scarring of the landscape from open-cut mining, or what's going on under the ground. It certainly can affect their mental health as well. And these are things we don't tend to think about a great deal, but our connection with nature and the environment and our mental health is an innate part of being human. So there are some big implications.
And Kim, it seems, as Rhonda sort of defined the rural sense of what we're seeing, maybe you could even, you know, say it's in our region. Internationally, is this concept being looked at as something that is helping to understand our reaction to really big global changes and or global related developments?
Well, yes, it is. And we've just finished a study in Indonesia and Yogyakarta with residents around an area of Mount Merapi. Now, Mount Merapi is a large volcano which erupts every so many years, and it had an eruption in 2010. And that eruption was quite a large one, and it scarred the environment, caused a lot of damage, meant a lot of residents had to move out because their communities were totally wiped out. What's happened, though, is the people who are still in their original homes, and also those who've been moved or relocated into a sort of new community that's been built for the people who've survived and had to move from their community, they're now living with a change to their environment that's almost intolerable, because the people in the local area have now started to make their living by carrying the sand and the rock that was that came out of the volcano. They're now selling that down in the large cities. So all day long, there's a parade of trucks go past their villages, and the dust in the area is incredible. So people are now suffering physical conditions. And as a result of those physical conditions, it's causing more distress emotionally. But at the noise, for some people, the noise is intolerable. They just find it very difficult to live with. And people, you know, just find it, the destruction that's happening to their environment because of these trucks now has just compounded having to live with the changes that have, you know, occurred because of the volcano itself.
Wow. It's 14 to 10 on ABC New England Northwest. And we're talking to Professor Kim Usher from the University of New England and Rhonda Wilson, a rural mental health nurse from the University of New England as well, about, I guess, what seems to be a word, solastalgia, which is given, I guess, a context to how some people are feeling around changes in their environment when there's change that takes place that they don't really have any control of. Rhonda, is it the kind of thing that anyone's being diagnosed with at the moment, or is it just more of a concept that's still being explored?
I think we don't really diagnose people with solastalgia so much. I think we tend to see further along, we tend to see things like depression and perhaps anxiety, and as Kim mentioned, some physical health problems as well. And we can relate them back to that concept, I suppose. And so, you know, it's not actually a diagnosis so much, but it certainly is an implication, I suppose, of the diagnoses that arise out of problems associated with this solastalgia. Are more likely to be things like depression, for example.
And Kim, is it important that this situation has a definition? Do you think it's important that we are actually to say this is a situation that's happening and it's attributable to these certain factors?
I certainly do. What I think this has done is it's made us aware, more aware of the changes in our environment and people's reactions to them. And of course, we wouldn't say that an individual has a solastalgia as such, but what we look for is we use a tool called the Emotional Distress Scale that was developed by colleagues of Glenn Albrecht, a guy called Nick Higginbottom and others. And we used that tool in Indonesia around the volcano area. And we used it with the group on the one side of the mountain that were affected by the 2010 eruption and compared them to people on the other side of the mountain who weren't affected by the 2010 eruption. Mm-hmm. And we used a very large sample of people and we found a significant difference between the two. So the people in the area affected by the volcano eruption had a much higher level of distress. So you would say that that group of people, that community, is experiencing solastalgia.
Right, okay. How do you identify it, Rhonda? What are you looking for in a situation?
Well, I suppose that's tricky, but and I suppose as Kim suggested, there are some tools there that we can look to assess for whole communities. But we're looking for that distress, we're looking for that sadness, and we're looking for that loss of connection with place. And, you know, those types of things are a little bit slow sometimes to arise. They're a little bit insidious. They creep up on us a little bit. And particularly when there's a whole community involved, then when the whole community is moving in that direction, then it is quite tricky. I suppose we can see in our local communities, you know, little pockets every once in a while of different types of distress. And I suppose the Gloucester area at the moment would be one of interest, where there are groups of people who are very concerned about mining. And there's certainly some grouping together of different groups of people. I think there's an application for a large campground of some kind, and people are connecting together around that particular problem, and I suppose that's expressing their distress at the environmental change as well. I think we've seen that through rallies in places like Lismore, for example. So sometimes, you know, people band together with a common level of concern and distress and you know, around environmental and balancing environmental conflict with human needs and certainly with our emotional and connection to space and place as well. So I suppose those are some of the things that we'd look for, and we see some signs in the wider community, I suppose, of some of those discomforts.
Kim, when you consider the, I guess, the differences between a man-made event or a natural disaster, it seems that farmers, although they're affected by a drought, they hope that it will break, the rain will come. But if a mine or a coal seam gas project is on the horizon, that seems an altogether different kind of concept. Is there any difference between the two of those understandings?
I don't think so, really. I think the impact on people as individuals is still the same. So that, you know, the whole thing leads to people feeling this sense of sorrow, this deep sorrow and distress, and which then inevitably people then become helpless and hopeless. And that's a really bad state for people to be in. So we have to be careful, and we need to be able to find ways to diagnose this and understand it in our communities, because it has this profound effect on people, and it's the sort of thing that can lead to a worsening of mental health problems for people in the community.
All right, so Rhonda, we've considered this as a concept. We're looking at the possibility of some people in pockets feeling this way already. What do we do to try and safeguard ourselves and do what we hope to do in this segment and sort of protect our mental health around these issues?
Well, I think one of the really key things is being able to recognise mental health decline in a group, or that profound sadness or sorrow that we've been talking about this morning. If we can recognise those types of things in a community early, then we can do things to assist and help and support. And you know, it's really important to always remember that the earlier problems are identified, the sooner and the more successfully we can do something to help people with their mental health. So the sooner we can implement mental health help for people who need it, the better the recovery for individuals and the level we've been talking today for community as well. So that early recognition is really, really important. I suppose we also know that environmentally there'll be times where unpredictable things do occur, floods, for example, You know, sometimes things are very, very challenging, but there is good mental health support available. And if we build that into our community recovery, at every level of our disaster planning and recovery, then that's a really important priority as well. And I suppose remaining being connected with place and environment and nature and the people around us is very important. Doing what we can to nurture our relationship with the places we live, the people we live with, being connected with nature is always going to be very important. And I think what Glenn Albrecht talks about is, you know, that's a bit of a remedy for this solastalgia as well, to make sure that we are being connected with nature and to be a friend of the environment as well. So I suppose those are slightly little bit different in terms of keeping ourselves strong. We often talk about more individual things, but I think this time it's important to talk about how to keep the community strong as well.
And how about you, Kim, in touching off what Rhonda has said there, but the idea of resilience and how do you rebuild or reconnect to your landscape again if it's changed?
I think it's really important that we help communities to be aware that this is a potential problem and help them to understand how this might occur, how this might be manifest in different people in the community, so that we can help each other to get through this situation. And we need to be aware of the distress that's caused by solastalgia, as so that we can then move on and develop strategies to help each other and for you know, to be able to implement better support systems in the community.
And do you think it'll be an increasing field of focus for rural mental health work into the future?
I believe it will, and I think it's something that, as mental health nurses, we really need to start to look at very seriously and to move this forward. And we're thinking about ways of looking for funding in the future to do just that.